again in Psalms chapter 68. Psalms chapter number 68, if you will, please, in your Bibles. Title of the message this morning is, Which God? Which God? Everyone in the world is serving some God. Which God? I'm glad the Lord gives us a choice. I'm glad that before I was born, Jesus didn't say, well, you have to serve that God and assign me to Allah or to Buddha or to Confucius. I'm glad that God didn't say that I had to serve the devil all my life. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus gave me a choice as to which God I was going to serve. And I served the wrong one for a while. And contrary to a lot of people, Jesus didn't give up on me. He sought me and He bought me and He brought me into His family. And I'm so glad that He did. And I have the privilege today to serve the only God that ever laid His life down and picked it back up again. I serve Him today. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I'm thankful for that. In the book of Psalms chapter 68, we want to begin in verse number 19. The Bible says, Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belongeth the issues from life, or from death. But God shall wound the head of His enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. Verse 32. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. Verse 35. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. And then if you will, please, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. And we're going to begin so we can have the context of what's being said in verse number 1. The Bible says, Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we are in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. I trust God will add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning as we look at the idea of which God. In this world today, there are many different and differing gods. They're different. And of course, they offer differently. They offer different things to the people that will serve them. And of course, they deliver in the end differently. And so we need to understand that from the world looking at things, there's more than one God. Of course, we know that there's one God supreme. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the ruler of heaven and earth, He who will be King of all kings and Lord of all lords. But today we're living in a world that has many gods recognized by many people. One of those gods is found in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 31. The Bible says, But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And so, if you're not living, and you're not living if you're not born again, then He's not your God. Remember, Jesus said, there's coming a time when many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, Have we not? And they're going to give this long list of their religious accomplishments. In your name we've prayed. In your name we've cast out devils. In your name we've done many mighty works. And then Jesus said, I'll profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Why, Lord? Because I never knew you. And so here the Bible says that God is the God of the living. Thank God tonight, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, if He's entered into your life, He's touched your dead spirit, it's been made to live again, and you've been born again, and then He is your God. He's the God of the living. And then the other God is represented in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, where the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so here we find that the other God is, of course, the devil, the liar. Jesus said in John chapter number 8 that he was a liar from the beginning, and he tells lies. He focuses on lies and untruths and half-truths and deception, and he's trying to gather together a group of people that he can take to a place called the lake of fire with him. It wasn't created for anybody but the devil and his angels. So we need to understand in the book of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter number 5, the Bible says, when a person dies without Christ, hell has to enlarge herself in order to receive the soul of that one who died without Jesus. You see, it was not God's blueprint. It was not God's plan that man ever end up in hell. God created hell as a holding place, and then people from there are going to be transferred to the lake of fire, which burneth with brimstone forever and ever, and that was created for the devil and his angels. So if a person dies without Christ, goes to hell, is transferred into the lake of fire, he's going to be there as an intruder. And the Bible says there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth in this place where man was never supposed to be to start with. And the only difference between a man going to heaven and a man going to hell is Jesus Christ. Amen. What they've done with Him. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, in the psalm that we were reading this morning, this part of this psalm, David's wish, and I think it's inspired by the Spirit of God, is led by the Spirit of God. The Bible says his words were protected by the Spirit of God. And he wrote these things to tell us some things about the true and the living God. He wants us to know some things about him. In verse number 19, he said, blessed be the Lord. That means that he's worthy of our praise. Could I say today that God's people don't praise God enough? I think maybe I've told this story before, but Brother and Mrs. Lacey were having a meeting one time in Landmark Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. And they were at the table, and Dr. John Rollins, who was the pastor of that great church, was called to the telephone. Now, some of the young people don't remember when, if you got a call at a restaurant, they paged you, or someone would come and say, sir, you have a telephone call. You couldn't just reach in your belt and pull it out, or reach in your purse and pull it out. You had to go for that. So Dr. Rollins left for the phone call. And Brother Lacey was talking to this lady who had been in the ministry, and boy, she could tell you some stories that just make your hair stand on end if you had any, and just shock your system. And Brother Lacey was visiting with her there at the table, and he said, Mrs. Rollins, you've been in this game for a long time. You've been watching things happen. You're an observer of people. Tell me, what's the difference now than when you first got into the ministry? And she said, that's easy, Brother Lacey. The thing that's different now than then is we've let the devil steal our shout. Did you hear me? We've let the devil steal our shout. Now, we've got some people that have gone way off on the deep end of shouting, and they're shouting from a cesspool. They have no crib or no corn in their crib. They have nothing in their life that would recommend Christ. And they stand up in church and shout hallelujah, and they spit bubbles and jump over pews and speak in several so-called unknown tongues and all those types of things. And all they're doing is making a religious mockery out of the greatest thing in the world. That's the salvation of Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible testifies that we are to praise Him. And just because they go to that way doesn't mean we have to go that way and come. You know, we wear the mask. That's to keep us from breathing on people, not to keep us from shouting once in a while. And then not only does it mean praise, but it means salute. As I understand, the whole idea of a salute is respect. I respect the person that I'm saluting. And a lot of people today have no respect for the Lord Jesus. They talk nasty about him. They talk dirty about him. They talk defiant about him. They talk denying about him. They just talk wicked about the Lord Jesus. Could I express an opinion? Thank you for your permission. Those people who are making a mockery of Jesus Christ right now, one day their knee will bow. One day their tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. We need to respect him. And then it means to adore. We ought to adore the Lord Jesus. I know where I was when he found me. I know the pig pen and the pit from which he took me out of. I know the rock he set up my feet upon. I know the song that he put in my heart. I even praise to our God, and I trust that many will see it and will trust in him. We ought to adore him. Oh, how I adore him, the songwriter said. And then the Bible says here of this God that David is wanting us to know, who daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, the Bible says that he daily does this. This isn't an annual occurrence. You know, sometimes if you work for a company, maybe you get a dividend at the end of the year, or you have a savings account, you get a dividend, you get some type of a financial boost at the end of the year, you hope. But this isn't annual. This isn't annual. This isn't monthly. Some people get their pays every month, and there's nothing wrong with that. If they get it 12 times a year, I guess the new math may have changed that, but there used to be 12 months in a year. I assume there still is. If you get 12 months pay one check every month, I guess you've gotten a year's pay. But that's not what he's talking about. And the Bible is not even talking about a weekly benefit. The Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. And you know, you may have gotten up this morning and you were in a hurry and you were scurrying around and something happened, your shoe broke, or you're tying your shoelaces and one of them broke, or you're shaving, you cut yourself, and it puts you in a tizzy, and you're running a little bit behind. You're wondering how in the world could everything go wrong at one time. Listen, we need to count our blessings. When upon life's billows you're tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them ton by ton, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. What good has God done for you this morning? Well, he got you up on this side of heaven. He got you up in this world. He breathed in your nostrils again today. You opened your eyes. You said, I'm still here. I'm still here. Now, some of these young people probably think, well, where would you be if you weren't here? Well, you need to understand that. You need to know that. But you know, sometimes when you go to sleep, you get a little bit up in the age. You get ready to go to sleep and you say, well, Lord, I guess I'll either see folk at church tomorrow or I'll see you in glory tomorrow, one of the two. And either one is fine. Either one of those is good. And I'm glad that God has left me here. In fact, I'm trusting that God will leave me here until we all get to go. It won't be a bus load, but it'll be a load. I hope we all get to go together in a thing called the rapture. But you see, you don't get that benefit if you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you don't know Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. And so the Bible says he daily loadeth us with benefits. In James chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible says every good gift. I know people today that don't know the Lord Jesus. They use his name as a curse word and they use it in vile ways. The Bible says every good gift. They need to stop and understand, where did that goodness come from? I remember we hadn't been saved very long, Miss Judy and I, and we went down and we were in a town east of where we lived and we visited one of her cousins, her nephews and his wife, and they invited us for supper, and we were sitting at the table, and his wife said, Don, maybe Bill would like to pray. He said, well, he can pray if he wants to. I don't do that. And I said, why don't you do that? And he said, well, because I get up in the morning and I go to work. I buy the gas for my truck. I pay the license on my truck. I bought the truck to start with. I go to work. And I said, and who gives you the energy to do that? He says, maybe you should thank the Lord for the food. You see, we all have things we can be thankful for. And the Bible says that every good gift, listen, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He loadeth us daily. He loadeth us with benefits. And every good thing in our life is a gift from God. Amen. And then the Bible says that he loadeth us. Now, it's not just some or just a bit more, but he loadeth. I believe the Bible says if we'll stop and think, if we'll just gather ourselves together a little bit, give ourselves a little bit of time, I believe we'll find that our benefits are heaped up. They're piled on. I believe that they're everywhere if we'll look. Where we live, we ought to thank God for our nation. Now, I know our nation has problems. You know I know our nation has problems. You know I have some strong ideas about how to cure some of those problems. But there's no need putting a Band-Aid on the cut of a jugular vein. And that's the best thing men can do for problems that are bothering America today. America needs Jesus. Amen. He's the great physician. He's the one that can fix things. But between now and then, I'm going to celebrate the benefits that he loads up in my life every day that I suck air. And then the Bible calls him the God of our salvation. I remember going to school, the teacher would tell us that the word the or the is an article indicating one or one group, one something, one person. The Bible says here he's the God. And could I say there's only one God that can give salvation? Just one. Just one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone else, it's a broken promise because they can't give salvation. It's a broken dream. It's cruelty is what it is, because they make all these promises and they can't fulfill them. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, you know the verse, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the God of salvation. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, salvation has an interesting definition in this respect. It means deliverance from the penalty of our sin. Only Jesus can deliver you. Now, he might, the world, the flesh, and the devil might be able to deliver you from your poverty for a little bit. They might be able to deliver you from a broken contract. Pardon me. They may be able to deliver you from something, but only the Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the shedding of his blood, only he can deliver us from the penalty of sin. The definition continues. It says, redemption from sin and its liability of eternal death. You see, there's a liability attached to your natural sin, and that liability is eternal death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Someone says, what do I have to do to go to hell? Not much. Just live to the age of accountability. Live to where you know the difference between right and wrong. And die in your sin. And you will collect your liability, which is eternal death. And the Bible says redemption from sin and its liability of eternal death, and conferring on him everlasting life. That's salvation. People who say, well, I used to be saved, but I'm not anymore. I used to be saved, but I fell. I used to be saved, but I slipped. I used to be saved, but I looked. I used to be saved, but I went. No, if you ever were saved, you still are. Because when God saves a person, he gives them eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life. That's in the person of Jesus Christ. And of course, the greatest benefit, the greatest gift that a person could have is the gift of eternal life. Oh, I've received some good gifts. And even since we've been here, this church has been wonderful to us and the gifts that they've given us. I don't want this to sound ungrateful at all. The greatest gift I ever had, the greatest gift I was ever given, was eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave that to me. The Bible says, for what is a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus said, if you had the whole world. Listen, I'll guarantee you what, if we could resurrect people out of hell and ask them what they would do to change their location upon being dismissed, oh, they'd give you anything. They'd do anything not to have to return to that place called hell. The greatest gift we can have is eternal life. And then verse number 19 finishes with that word, Selah. Think about it for a little bit. Stop and think. My Austrian landlady said, I think the problem with Austrians is most of them don't think. That's not just an Austrian problem. That's a people problem. People don't think. God says, please stop and think about that. In verse number 20, the Bible says, He that is our God is the God of salvation. I like that word is. Not used to be. I'm glad he wasn't just David's God, and then something went haywire and he's not around anymore. He is, not used to be. He is, not will someday be. He is our God, not maybe. He is our God. Listen to what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Not I used to be. I am that I am, he said. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And just in those words, I am, there's strength. Remember when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus in the garden? And they asked him, are you the Christ? Are you Jesus the Christ? He said, I am. And the Bible says that they fell backward because of the power of that word, I am. Listen, I'm telling you, he's still alive today. Amen. We need to understand that. Psalms 23 and verse number 1, David, the same author, humanly speaking, has authored Psalm 68. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not used to be. Not going to be someday. He is. And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 6, the Bible says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, if we just grab that verse, Hebrews 13 and verse number 6, and tuck it away in our heart, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It would send us out witnessing and talking to people about Jesus with a boldness that's scarcely found nowadays. I did a little bit of a search on the words He is, and I found out these things. He is my strength. He's my song. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my light. He's my salvation. He's my portion. He's my defense. He is our God, if He's your God. If He's your God. Oh, how he wants to be your God. Now, he's not going to share the throne room with somebody else. He's not going to let you trust him and Confucius at the same time. You have to make up your mind. And, of course, he doesn't just say there that he's my God. It says that he is our God. Oh, he's our God. Praise God, he's our God if you know the Lord Jesus. And he's a God of salvation. This is the second time in these verses that we read this morning in Psalm 68. This is the second time that he says he's the God of salvation. You see, there isn't any other God of salvation. And then if you go over to verse number 35, the Bible says, it tells us who he is. He said he's the God of Israel. Listen to me. He's not the God of Islam. He's the God of Israel. Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, he's the one. And the Bible testifies that he's the God of salvation. He's not anything else. He's the God of salvation. And to this God belongs, the Bible says, the issues from death. To this God, to the God of Israel, to the God of salvation, to the God who is all the things that I read from the list before, to this God belong the issues from death. When I think of the issues from death, I think of the when of death. The when of death. You know, God's in charge of that. The Bible says, and as it is appointed unto every man once to die, and after this the judgment. You have an appointment. Now, I hate appointments. I hate appointments. I made an appointment with a doctor the other day, and they said, well, you may have to wait out in your car. And I said, cancel the appointment. Why? I said, I'm not waiting out in my car. Amen. I'm not going to do that. I hate appointments anyway. They're a waste of time. And a 10 o'clock appointment, when you get to see the doctor at 11 o'clock, there's something wrong with the scheduler. I hate appointments. But I have an appointment one day, and God is the one that decides when it is. Now, He will advance. He will alter that date. He will change. I had eye surgery a while back, and they called me and said, if you're willing, we can move your eye surgery appointment up a week. I said, I'm willing. Amen. Let's get it over with. Amen. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is the first commandment with a promise, that it might be well with you and you might live long on the earth. You see, we can alter the time of our death by our relationship with our parents. So when my parents are dead, you can still have a relationship with your parents. You could admit to yourself and to God the places where you were wrong, the places where you were unrespectful, disrespectful, the places where you were disobedient. You can confess those things to God. And it's not as good, I think, as doing it in person, but I think it helps. And so the Bible testifies that He's the God of the when. He's the God of the how of our death. Have you ever stopped to talk to God about how you're going to die? Are you going to die in a bloody car accident? You're going to die in an explosion? You're going to die in a terrorist attack? You're going to die of a heart attack? Some people are never going to die of a heart attack from working. I know that. Miss Judy saw something the other day. You know, they're changing the name of everything so we can be politically correct. Somebody said the other day we need to change the name of the candy bar Payday, because it indicates that you ought to have to work to get paid. Oh, amen. I don't know where that came from. But anyway, have you ever stopped to think about how you're going to die? Have you talked to God about how you're going to die? He's the one that's in charge of it. Now I lay me down to sleep. Bag of peanuts at my feet. No, that's not how it goes. We lay ourselves down. We say, well, if I wake up in heaven, not so bad. But I can think of terrible ways to die. Suffocation would be a terrible way to die. Dying in a fire would be a terrible way to die. Can you imagine a person who's lost and they die in a terrible fire, and they go right from the fire to a worse fire? A place called hell. God is the one who's in charge of all of those issues. The when, the how, the where. Might make a difference to you where you die. If you're going places you shouldn't be going, doing things you shouldn't be doing, you died there. Oh my goodness. That could be a bad thing. God's in charge of those things. The why you die. The how come you die. Oh, I know we all die because we're sinners. But sometimes God drops the squaitis on someone because of a sin in their life. And He's given them opportunity. They say no. But God's in charge of all that. This God that David's bragging about. In verse number 21... David tells us that God has not forgotten about His enemies. I know the world would like you to believe that if you live by the Bible, it's all humdrum and no fun and you're always poor and you've got no more and all those different things. That's not true. And David here reminds us of lost people. It says in verse number 21, but God shall wound the head of His enemies. And God has done that. He's wounded the heads of some people. Today, people suffer from head wounds. And they can't think. They're geniuses. Got good grades all the way through school. They were the top of their class. They entered into the business world at the top of the heap because of their ability to think. And today, they don't have enough sense to come in out of the rain. They suffered from a head wound. And it may have just been something that God did to show them that he's still in charge. And then the Bible describes the enemy here. It says in verse 21, the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on steel in his trespasses. God is saying here that God's going to deal with those people that just continue in their trespasses. They've been warned. The Holy Spirit of God has pled with their heart, and they've heard the Lord Jesus say, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." You've heard the Holy Spirit of God say, if you die without Jesus, you're going to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel. They've heard that. They've heard the warning. They've heard the pleading. They've witnessed the protection. They've gotten out of a car accident or something and stood beside a wrecked heap of metal and broken glass. And they said, "Man, it's a miracle I got out of that." Yes, yes. That's God protecting you, that you have another opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Punishment has been deferred for people over and over and over again. How we need to understand that God says it's not always going to be that way. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." So far, people have said, "No, Lord, later. No, Lord, later." I know a man who was raised in a Christian home. His parents paid for him to go to Christian schools. He went to a Christian college. He graduated from that college. I talked to him about the Lord. He said, "Oh, I can tell you the plan of salvation as good as you can. I know everything I need to do to be saved, but I'm not going to do it yet. Not going to do it now." And he put it off and put it off and put it off. And he's probably close to my age. The Bible says one day, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Why is it that the God of this world, the one who's blinded the minds of them that believe not, why is it that he has convinced so many people that at the time of death they'll be able to repent and turn from their sin and trust Jesus? The Bible says if God has spoken to your heart and he's talked to you and talked to you and talked to you and you've hardened your heart, the Bible says there's coming a time when God can say, "No, that's enough." And the Bible said they'll suddenly be destroyed, and that without any remedy. God help us to understand the importance of now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Verse number 32, he said, we're to sing unto God. We're to sing praises unto him. I think of two things we've mentioned in our text today that we could sing praises to him for. Number one is for our salvation. Oh, I sing because I'm happy. No, I sing because I'm saved. I turn up the air conditioner where I can't even hear myself sing. I go down the road singing. People say, "Man, there goes a nut," and that's probably right. But I'm screwed onto the right bolt anyway, and I love to sing about being saved. Yesterday, I thought we would sing that song. I'll think of it this morning again. We complete in thee. Complete in thee. Hallelujah. I may not be complete anywhere else, but I'm complete in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank God I'm saved. And then the second thing we studied a little bit today is the daily benefits of the Lord. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Some man's real hungry, and he goes down the line, and maybe someone's serving him, and he says, man, I'm hungry. Load it up. Load it up. The first time my wife my girlfriend, we went to my parents' house to eat a meal together. And my dad was sitting beside my wife-to-be. And he asked her, "Do you want some potatoes?" I don't know if she passed them to him or he's passing them. He was going to serve her. He said, "You want some potatoes?" And she said, "Oh, I'll take a little." Boy, he loaded it up. I mean, he put enough potatoes on there for a harvest crew. And then just looked at her and grinned. Loaded it up. We need to understand that we're loaded with daily benefits. And then, again, for the second time in our message today, we find that word Selah. Think about it. Think about it. Verse number 35, he speaks of the God of Israel. He giveth strength and power unto his people. You're not his people if you haven't been purchased. You're not his people if you haven't come. But he wants to give us salvation, and then he wants to give us strength and power. Someone says, well, how much power? Power for the day. Power enough. Power enough to do what needs to be done for the Lord Jesus Christ in that day. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, the Bible says, nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. So it's more power than we need. Finding more power than I ever knew. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He gives us power. Blessed be God. Blessed again means he's deserving of our praise, our salute, our adoration. And that's the real one. That's the real God. That's the one who laid his life down and took it back up again. I believe today that too many of God's people spend too much time, they give too much credit to the devil, give too much time to the devil, give too much energy to the God of this world who would lie to you. Listen, he would lie to you and let you drop into hell in a New York minute. If you're a child of God, you need to understand, he is your enemy. Quit listening to him. Quit giving him all that time and all that credit and all that attention. Somebody, one of the old preachers said, someone said, what would you do if you knew Jesus was knocking at the door? He said, I'd let Jesus answer the door. Or if you knew the devil was knocking at your door, he said, I'd let Jesus answer it for me. Oh, how we need to do that. You see, the devil's just blinding people. He doesn't want them to see. Oh, he wants them to think that their religion's enough. He wants them to think that their baptism's enough. He wants them to think that the money they throw in the offering box is enough. But all that's a lie. If you die without Jesus, you've died with too little. You must be born again. God bless you this morning. Let's bow our heads, please.